Is there, budget.
Is there a second?
I'll second for the purpose of discussion.
Council discussion.
I appreciate
Commissioner Fritz.
Sorry. Appreciate Commissioner Saltzman emphasizing in his moving of this motion that he supports the allocation of the $1.5 million to development services and also the use of the fund to balance the budget in these very tough times. So he and I, in seconding it, certainly support the mayor in making those decisions, and indeed the whole council supported the $1.5 million in allocation to BDS. So recognizing that these are very challenging times, that needs to be very clear, that we support the current allocations. I also would like more information on how the Bancroft funds can be used in the future, what the sustainable level for those funds is, and moving forward, maybe setting a policy for future councils to consider when looking at that fund and deciding how to use it.
Further council discussion?
I would just respond, Mayor.
President.
That I think that's the intent of this budget note. It calls for the Chief Administrative Officer and City Auditor to conduct an assessment of the financial condition of the fund, adequacy of the current fund balance, and to also propose to Council legal provisions and management policies that will strengthen the long-term health of the fund.
Further comments? Sue, could you call the roll?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
The motion passes. Commissioner Saltzman.
I have no further amendments.
Mayor has returned.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. I want to go through several of the budget notes and ask some questions, starting at the top with the Emergency Coordination Center, which states that the general fund will pay for the Portland Office of Emergency Management's portion of the debt service for the Emergency Communications Center. I'm wondering why we're directing that for next year's budget, and also why only POEM, and what about the other general fund bureaus that will be needing to pay into the Emergency Communications Center?
I mean, it's a $60,000-ish dollar payment, isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's for the ongoing operations and maintenance. The budget note actually is directed towards starting in the 11-12 budget. There will be debt service on the ECC. So again, we are putting the budget note in there to note that the general fund will start picking up that debt service in fiscal year 2011-12. The total amount of the debt service is $270,000. But again, if POEM pays that, it goes into the overhead model. So about $123,000 of that will be general fund. $147,000 will be non-general fund, paid by other non-general fund bureaus. And then also the second part of the budget note, in fiscal year 2012-13, when the center's operation and maintenance costs will also be built in. And those are going to be about $100,000 in ongoing operations and maintenance starting, again, 12-13. And that's about $31,000 general fund, $69,000 non-general fund.
What about the other general fund bureaus that will be involved in Emergency Communications Center? BOIC, for example. How does their debt service get taken care of?
Well, this would be the entire general fund portion of the debt service. The other non-general fund bureaus would be paying their own debt service. This would be the general fund portion of it.
So it's not just POEM?
Well, no. I mean, I think the way we've structured this is that it would the general fund would pick up the entire amount. And often that's the way we do it, is that, and I think this is actually structured so that the general fund debt service payment would be made directly. We often budget general fund debt service outside of bureaus, instead of giving it to the bureaus and having to transfer it in.
Okay, thank you. Then I have a question on the Bureau of Development Services developing a new technology system. The amendment that you've added to the budget note says that BDS must present the new five-year financial plan to council. Council must approve it before BDS expends any additional funding for the new permitting system. I would like to move an amendment or addition to that, which I'll pass out, to add another sentence that the council must separately approve of moving forward with the new permitting system before expenditures are made or loans received.
Second that.
It's been moved and seconded to add the sentence, the council must separately approve of moving forward with the new permitting system before any expenditures are made or loans received. Sue, can you please call the vote?
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Thank
Amendment
you.
Is approved.
Thank you very much. Under the education scholarships, I want to make sure that my understanding of how these $500,000 that's been promised in the mayor's State of the Union, State of the City speech is actually where it's coming from. And my understanding is that it's from savings that the Office of Management and Finance has been able to make in the overhead model. And
it's savings that from OMF through interagency agreements, from internal service.
Through interagency agreements. And that in a normal year that those funds would not go back to the bureaus, they would go to the ending fund balance and contingency. Is that correct?
Of those bureaus.
Yeah, for those bureaus, that's correct. The lower amounts would go into the bureau's ending fund balance.
They would go into the rate funded bureau's balance?
Correct. Any savings, well, actually, I think it would be up to the bureaus in terms of how those funds are spent.
That's conflicting information from what I had heard before. That, so I still have questions about that. But
so the just to try to clarify, a third will come from the general fund, a third from water, and a third from sewer rates. The Office of Management and Finance lowered their overhead charge and the savings.
Interagency charge.
And the savings accrued as a result of OMF lowering their interagency charge is what is going to be used for the scholarship. So it's a no impact to ratepayers proposal.
And it's from efficiencies within city government?
Correct.
Thank you. Keeping down the budget list.
Mayor, I have another question.
We'll wait until we get through Commissioner Fritz.
Okay.
Under the Portland Development Commission on page 26, there's a budget note that says OMF will bring forward an ordinance allocating an amount equal to 30% of all business license tax revenue above the April 10 general fund to be allocated to the Portland Development Commission. So my understanding is that we would have a full discussion about whether that is council policy when that ordinance is being brought forward. By accepting the budget note, we're not saying that we have had that discussion. Is that correct?
Correct. This absolutely positively does not commit the council to anything other than having the discussion.
Great. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Salzman?
Just going back to the Emergency Coordination Center, I just wanted to follow up with Andrew. So could you explain to me what is the general fund and enterprise fund share split? In other words, what proportion is water paying up the debt service and what proportion is home paying up the debt service?
Right. So, you know, and again, the center hasn't been built yet, but the initial estimates are that POEM would occupy about 55% of the 55% of the new ECC, and water would occupy about 45%.
Okay.
And so the breakdown currently is based on that ratio.
Okay. Are there any other general fund bureaus anticipated as occupants, or just POEM and water?
At this point, I think it's just POEM and water.
All right, Commissioner, unless Commissioner Fritz, you had anything more?
I think I'm done, thank you.
Commissioner Leonard, anything? Okay. All right, now we will, how many people have signed up for testimony?
About six.
Okay, and this is testimony on the general fund budget, so not sewer, water, garbage, leaf rates. That comes later in the agenda. This is just the general fund budget. So if you signed up for discussion of the general fund budget, then this is your time to do it.
And Mayor, I would just clarify, it is actually testimony on the entire approved budget. The rate ordinances are separate discussions later, but this could be testimony on anything within the approved budget.
I appreciate that. Luckily, I'm the chair of the committee, so I want to separate out testimony on the rates and make sure we have a good focus on that from testimony on the general fund, but I appreciate your coaching. All right. Anyone signed up to testify on general fund issues?
First three are Terry Parker, Shedrick J. Wilkins,
And David Morrison.
Mr. Parker, welcome back. Mr. Morrison, General Fund. Who is the next one?
Oh, Shedrick Wilkinson.
He already did his communications.
Okay. How about Annie or Amy Schaefer?
Amy? Are you Amy? Hi, welcome. And last person, or is that it? Is that who last who signed up?
And then Eric Fruits.
Mr. Fruits. Go ahead, Mr. Parker. Welcome back.
Thank you. Terry Parker, a lifetime resident of Portland. What we have here is a horde of misaligned priorities. When giving guidance to a stubborn donkey, things need have to be repeated. You are obviously not listening to the objections of mainstream Portlanders. By dipping into water and sewer ratepayer dollars, the mayor is creating an exclusive slush fund to pay for his own special interest and social engineering agenda, increasing already astronomical utility rates, and then looting those dollars to fund bioswales for bicycle infrastructure, student scholarships, tree maintenance, and staffing costs for the river plan is a classic form of embezzlement. In the private sector, such a significant increase in housing cost, such a scam would likely be called cooking the books. Excessive utility rates significantly increase housing costs, not only for low-income people, but the 10% plus of Portlanders that are unemployed, also for the declining middle-income working class, where wages have not even kept up with inflation. Additionally, increasing garbage rates does the same, where recycling must be financially sustainable, equating to lower, not higher rates. These insensitive utility rate increases, along with raiding those dollars for pet projects, is totally out of touch with reality. So is budgeting funds for street parties like the Sunday Parkway events, especially when it is in the face of sizable police bureau layoffs. Like bicycle infrastructure, the Sunday Parkway events need to become the financial responsibility of the lip service-rich freeloading bicycle community. In closing, do you get it yet? The public does in the shorts. It's time you respond to what mainstream Portlanders are saying and truly represent public opinion by cutting back these basic service utility rate increases. It is also time to heed the advice of the Portland Utility Board by using utility ratepayer dollars only for the delivery of water and sewer services. Be prepared. Cuts in funding resources from the state of Oregon are on the horizon. Top priority for this city budget must be to provide adequate funding for the core basic services such as police and fire services and for maintaining the infrastructure that is already in place such as roads, parks, and underground utilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker, and always nice to hear from you. Hi.
Hi. I'm Amy Schaefer, and I work for the Portland Police Bureau. I started there in 2007 as a police desk clerk, and I've been promoted to PASS. And in all my positions there, I've obviously enjoyed my positions and obviously know we're there to support the sworn officers. But I wanted to comment on the ramifications of the budget decisions that you're making in the police bureau. Firing up to, I don't know how many, 25 non-sworn with the illusion that that's going to save the officers being on the streets and being able to help people isn't really the case, because those officers will be taking our positions, admin positions at desks, processing checks, and doing things that I obviously do for half the price. Officers are tactically trained and, firearms trained to help people, and having non-sworn people at the desk to support them and do their paperwork and deal with people coming in and public, which we do, greatly. They need social service, all kinds of other issues. I think it's going to have a lot of ramifications on the public that they'll see soon if we're all laid off. Specifically, where I work now in the alarms unit, we have generated up to $3 million a year. In some years, it's went up and down, and have the possibility to generate more. So I don't think it's really fiscally responsible to get rid of one pass. And I've been told an accountant one or a police officer will do my job when they make twice as much as I do. And most of the jobs that we have are pink-collar jobs, mostly women and minorities, and they're going to be filled by white men, making twice as much. And as a member of, the diverse, empowered employees of Portland, that isn't within our mission. Our mission is supposed to be creating diversity and hiring, you know, more women, more people of color, you know, and that just seems completely redundant. And on the issue that's been mentioned about providing money for college, obviously I have a college education. I'm, you know, greatly think that any kind of education is wonderful, but if you're providing money for people to go to college with the illusion that they'll come out and be able to get a job in the city of Portland, it's ridiculous because you're laying us off instead of promoting and creating jobs. And how is that going to help the budget when we already have over 10% unemployment and now there'll be more? So that's kind of what I would like to say. And I think it's fiscally irresponsible because there's a lot of other things in the budget that can be cut that wouldn't be us.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Mr. Fruits.
Hi, thank you. My name is Eric Fruits. I'm president of Laurelhurst Neighborhood Association. And I think I want to begin by just saying that that we really do appreciate the efforts that you've put in trying to craft this budget. It's for us, budgeting is easy because we're broke. For you guys, you have a lot more money to deal with, a lot more services to provide. So I really sympathize with all the choices and the challenges you have to face. But even so, there's certain parts of the budget that I think are a tribute to misplaced priorities. When you look around, you see that a huge majority of the population of Portland drives and uses their cars every day. This motoring majority battles potholes and faces a paving backlog that can actually truly pave a road from here to San Francisco. And even so, we're told over and over that the city has no money to fix its growing backlog. Yet at the same time, the city waves a magic wand and produces $20 million in sewer savings to be diverted into projects that tear up streets and replaces them with bike lanes and bioswales. What we have now, then, is a program that actually spends money to make the experience worse for drivers in Portland. We also know that these sewer savings are about as real as the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. I guarantee that a few years from now, those savings are going to magically transform into cost overruns. We're going to have another hearing about how those savings are gone and how we have to raise rates to cover the lost savings. That's going to be a real problem in the future. In a sense, Portland ratepayers are going to pay twice for the same service. While the city's made great strides in opening up the budget process to the public, I've received countless emails inviting me to budget forums and so have people in my neighborhood. But what's really troubling is that the most contentious issues have been hidden, only to be revealed at the last minute. In particular, the new leaf pickup fee was buried in the back of a 24-page document that was revealed only a week ago. None of the affected neighborhood associations were notified or given sufficient opportunity to comment. We only learned of the new fee by reading in the newspaper the next day. This is an affront to what we call the hallowed Portland process. If you recall, in the past, any time these issues have come up, we've had a vigorous debate and an extensive discussion on them. This discussion didn't occur this time. And so I respectfully ask you to delay the vote on those new fees to allow the affected stakeholders ample time to comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's all.
A couple of comments by way of discussion. I realize that there are folks out there that have access to large microphones who keep promoting this notion that we're spending sewer contract savings on bike lanes. And no matter how many times we repeat it and show it factually that that's not true, that folks are going to continue to believe that and say that. In reality, the bioswales have been part of the city's plan for reducing basement backups of sewers for the past 4 years. And in terms of savings, the Bureau of Financial Planning has estimated savings over a period of time between $40 and $60 million. That savings doesn't come from any accounting change. That savings comes from projects getting bid out and coming back cheaper than originally estimated years ago because the economy is tougher and contractors have less work and are willing to give the city they're competing for those bids is more challenging, and as a result, the city is saving money. If you go out for remodeling on your home right now, you will find it will cost less than it cost 3 years ago. That's part of this recession. In terms of scholarships, that is coming from efficiencies between the Bureau, between the Office of Management and Finance, and between the Utility Bureau. So those savings are being used to fund a portion of the scholarships. Why do that? Well, if they were standalone utilities like Portland General Electric or Pacific Core, they would be some of the largest companies in Portland. They would still have to do affirmative action. There would be an expectation that they do affirmative action, that they are good stewards of their economy, and that their employee base is representative of their service territory. Well, the city of Portland has made strides recently in becoming a more diverse employer, but we do not yet reflect the diversity of the community. The growing diversity of the community is not reflected in the city's staffing, and it is a priority for us. In terms of why do this now, the Bureau of Human Resources estimates there will be 600 retirements in the next 3 years. 600 retirements that give us a once-in-a-generation opportunity to diversify the city, especially in job classes that pay a family wage but don't necessarily require advanced degrees. And this is the kind, this is part of what it means to embrace our growing diversity as a city government. You've heard a lot of complaints, whether it's the police bureau, the fire bureau, whether it's our maintenance workers, what have you, that the city employees' employment base is not representative of the diversity of the committee. This is our once-in-a-generation opportunity to do that. In terms of leaves, it was on the front page of the Oregonian, I think, at least once, maybe twice. The city government polled on whether or not folks in leaf zones, defined as places in the city where the leaves are so plentiful, whether or not people would like this service of being able to rake the leaves into the street for $1 or $2. And the response to this poll from the Bureau of Transportation was very positive, much better than having to bag it up or put it in the composting can. In terms of our Mr. Parker and Mr. Fruit's testimony, trust me, the vast majority of money goes to automobile-related improvements and maintenance in the city. A tiny fraction goes to things like bikes. But we had 151 people killed on our streets and roads in the last 4 years. 151. That outpaces every other murder, anything like that. It doesn't get a lot of press. But you will see this mayor being strident in trying to save lives through these twofers and threefers. Bioswales just happen to also serve to slow down cars and save lives. They are not part of the bike system. They're not subsidizing the bike system. I'd like to now move to and hear the testimony on the rates. So if you could read all the rate ordinances.
Very good. Oh, the rate ordinances.
Read them all, please.
The testifiers.
Well, if you could read all the ordinances on the rates, and then we'll have testimony on that and vote on everything.
Sure.
Mayor, we need to close out the hearing on the budget.
Do we have to
do you
want to
finish that first and take a vote and approve the budget first?
If my attorney says I should do that, I'll do that, yes. Do you recommend that? Okay. Then I will amend my direction. Sue, can you please call the vote?
And this is for approve the budget?
Correct. Item number 724.
Fish.
Well, this is the second full budget cycle that I have participated in, and I think it's not lost on people that this was an even more challenging budget cycle than last year. And that's because we continue to be hammered by the recession and we're forced to make tough choices. I want to begin by acknowledging that perhaps the mayor's most important and charter-based role is to bring the council together around a budget. And I have learned in working with my colleagues, people who I have the greatest respect for, that we're not the easiest group to corral, particularly when it comes to sharing the pain during a tough budget cycle. And that's particularly because my colleagues are passionate and they have strong views, and a few of them are even known to be stubborn on occasion. And it's the mayor's job to find the sweet spot and bring us together around a budget. And so I want to begin by complimenting Mayor Adams for bringing us together and reaching a budget which I think is a responsible budget and one which I can support. 3 years ago, this council had surplus dollars, which it was able to allocate. The last two budget cycles, we've had to make tough choices because our needs are growing and our revenues are declining. And I can tell you, based on my first 2 years in office, that it's a lot more fun to be Santa Claus at budget time than to be Scrooge. And it's very hard to tell people no, particularly people who are dealing with the human consequences of a recession, which is making life hard for everyone. So as this council tightens its belt, just like families throughout our community, I'm pleased that as we've made the tough choices, that this budget reflects my priorities. First, it protects public safety. Second, it invests in job growth. And third, it once again maintains the social safety net during very tough times. Those are your values, Mayor. They are values shared by your colleagues. And I compliment you for bringing us to this moment. Now, in the particular areas that I'm responsible for, parks and housing, I'm grateful to my colleagues for continuing to invest in people who have been hurt by this recession. In the housing area, that includes $2.5 million above our base budget to fund what we call the safety net, Mayor, and which you and I also know means shelter services, rent assistance, and programs which are desperately needed in these times. You've also, in your budget, added an additional and unprecedented $1 million to help us address the significant spike in street homelessness and particularly to come up with strategies that help women and families experiencing homelessness. On the parks front, parks has, for now the sixth or seventh year, had to take cuts, which frankly, in the long term, will no longer be sustainable. But we've taken our fair share of cuts along with other general fund bureaus. But this budget restores funding for some programs which are essential during tough times. Money is restored for teen programs so that young people have healthy and creative activities this summer. All 23 playground programs have been restored. And that's a double win because at approximately half of our playgrounds, Mayor, as you know, we serve hungry children, perhaps the only nutritious meal they will have during that day. We're investing in programs which feed people who are hungry. And we have been able to draw a line and maintain funding for vital programs like senior recreation that our older adults rely on so much. And I will remind my colleagues that when we did our survey not long ago of who was our typical customer in parks who was an older adult, we learned it was a 70-year-old female, low income and single. And that particular person has paid their dues through a lifetime and at the end of their life deserves to have healthy communal activities which can engage them. And they don't have the choice between joining the MAC club or going to their local rec center. And this budget makes sure they will continue to have access to those programs, which are so essential, and to the health and well-being of people who have helped build this great community. But, Mayor, I also want to acknowledge that in making some tough decisions in this budget, we have also seen the private sector and our private sector partners step up to help us do the job and fund areas that we can't. And I'm especially pleased as the Parks Commissioner that we're offering a full menu of programs through the summer free-for-all, free concerts, free movies, and free programs in our parks, all at portlandparks.org, which in these tough times would not be possible unless our good corporate citizens like Nike and Daimler and Bank of America and so many others stepped forward and said that they want to invest in healthy, family-friendly community activities. So I'm grateful for their work. Now, one somber note that I want to close with. This is the sixth or seventh year in which Parks has taken cuts. And as has been noted repeatedly during my tenure, we are simply not meeting our maintenance obligations to our existing inventory, and our basic system is being degraded because we do not have the funds to invest in it. At some point, I will come back to you and seek your support for a bond measure to handle the capital side of our business. We haven't had one since the mid-1990s. The public wants us to move on this, but the economy has to turn before we ask people to dig deep to help us with that. But there's a cost to us continuing to not have adequate resources to maintain our system, and if you doubt me, think no further than the recent report the City Club issued on Forest Park, which represents one half of our system, a 5,000-acre gem in the heart of our city, and clearly, for a long time, we haven't had the resources to maintain it at the level that we would like. And we simply, in the immediate future, will not have the resources to do the job either. And we're going to have to rethink how we deliver services to a community that loves its park system, but which has historically underfunded its park system. I commit to working with you, Mayor, and my colleagues to find new and creative ways to deliver services people want, recognizing that the time that we once looked upon government being the sole source of funding and the answer to our problems is over, and chastened by the news yesterday of the substantial hole in the state government budget, we know that there are going to be lean times ahead. So we are frankly going to have to rethink the way we do all of our business, and that includes rely even more on the creative genius of our private partners to help us do the job. In closing, I want to again thank the mayor and his personal staff for the courtesies they've extended to me and to our colleagues. These hearings are more placid at the stage we get to the public here. They are a little livelier behind the scenes, but that's because, again, I have passionate and committed colleagues fighting for things they believe in, strong values. But ultimately, I think a mayor should be judged by his ability to bring forth a budget that obtains 5 votes and moves the city forward. And I think by that measure, this is a successful budget. I want to thank Andrew Scott and his team for the endless hours they took supplying us with the information we needed to make informed judgments. Andrew has one of the toughest jobs in this building, and we appreciate all the courtesies you've extended to us and the professionalism. I want to acknowledge my two bureau directors, Director Van Vliet, who is relatively new in her job, but has, I hope you would agree, colleagues, has been off to a good start and has been a very helpful guide as we have made tough choices in this budget, and Director Zeri Santner from Parks as well. I want to acknowledge my own team of Betsy Ames and Jim Blackwood and the other people in my office who work tirelessly to help the commissioner in charge make these decisions. I'm grateful for the many citizens who have taken time at our various hearings, including our public hearing last week, who came out and testified and who have helped shape this budget from day one. And I want to acknowledge, that covers all my acknowledgments. So with that, Mayor, I am pleased to cast a vote of aye on this budget. Aye.
Is your microphone on, Sue?
Saltzman, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Very good.
I'd like to thank the mayor and my colleagues for this work on this recalibrated budget. With revenues down and expectations up, making the cuts needed to balance our budget was and will continue to be a difficult task. This budget before us is a dramatic improvement in my mind of the proper balance of cuts to general fund bureaus. Proper balance for porters, signaling our collective commitment to public safety and to job creation. A few of the items I'm particularly pleased to see included are the restoring of sworn police officers to maintain full strength at the Bureau and to continue our commitment to establish a more diverse police force. Fulfilling our pledge, along with Multnomah County, to see through the construction and operation of Crisis Assessment and Treatment Center to address one of the critical gaps in our mental health delivery system. again like to thank the mayor and my colleagues for this budget and all of the work that has gone behind it. Aye.
Leonard.
I've, since first being elected to public office in 1993 in the Oregon Senate, and to remind people of the politics back then, I was one of nine Democrats in a 30-member body. So there were 19 Republicans, nine Democrats. Until today, I have never been through a more challenging economic and political climate to bring a budget together. The economics, I mean, in spite of the fact that each of us works our hardest to make sure our bureaus run as efficiently as possible, that our offices run as efficiently as possible, and we do those things that we can to incent new businesses to come here and to keep existing businesses here, there's a limited amount, to be very honest with you, that we can do in city government to change the tide of the economics that affects not just our city, state, or nation, but the entire world, and we're having to deal with that. On the politics, I think I used to bemoan being in such a distinct Republican minority, but I think it gave me some skills in working in a minority that
Democrat,
I'd like.
Democrat minority.
That in a Republican majority, wherein I was a Democrat, it gave me some skills. And it taught me also how to be when you are in the majority. It's come to help me a lot. There's a lot we need to do in this building to improve the politics of how this budget was produced. And to the extent that there's something I can do or Mayor Adams can do to improve that, I'm not only confident that I will do that, but I'm convinced that knowing Sam as well as I do and how he works, he will do that. But we can only control those things that we can control. For an example, today, although I voted for two amendments on the Bureau of Development Services that I oversee, I didn't see them until today. Two of my colleagues certainly have the right to produce amendments and certainly have the right to have them voted on without first showing me or any other commissioner what they say to make sure they're worded appropriately or they get to the issue they're intending to get to. But it's not how I have learned we relate with each other if politically we want to work well together. To the extent that I can do something to improve that in the next year, I will. To the extent that that has had some adverse impact on the bureaus I oversee, I need to even be more diligent to do a better job. We're closing a fire rescue. That has real consequences to people's lives. Fire rescues are staffed by two paramedics who are highly skilled, just short of physicians as far as I'm concerned, medical personnel who respond to people who have heart attacks, who have children who quit breathing, car accidents where people are trapped. And that particular rescue serves one of the poorest parts of East Portland that will be closed. There were ways to, I think, craft this budget to avoid that. But again, the politics being what they are, I'm also realistic and in an effort to move this city forward and willing to move forward. But I think we each up here, all five of us, need to take stock of how we got to the place that we're at today, in the process that we used to craft the budget that is here today, and do better. Because this isn't about me, and it's not about what my goals are. It's about promoting the best interest of every person in this city and say to decide whatever it is that I think should happen or whatever it is I think a process should look like and do what is best for the entire city, which means each of the five of us up here need to do a better job of processing our each individual agendas in a way that everybody feels honored, respected, and most of all, listened to. I also want to thank Mayor Adams. He has put together a budget in, as I said, the most trying circumstance I've experienced, and I've experienced a number of them since I've been in public life, and I appreciate his decisiveness. I appreciate just in just a couple short weeks, the new tenor coming from the police bureau, led by Chief Mike Reese. I think there is a new day in Portland with the brand new leadership I've seen at the police bureau and the police managers that Chief Reese has assembled around him. I am optimistic about the future of our city. I'm optimistic about the future of the relationship our citizens have with this police force. So having said that, I vote aye.
Fritz.
We're all struggling. Portlanders are struggling. This is a very difficult and challenging economy, and it doesn't seem like it's going to get better anytime soon. So I want to start by thanking everybody who's been involved in developing this budget over the last more than 7 months, because the Bureau Budget Advisory Committees convened in late fall to start making their recommendations. And even while I say that, I recognize that we should start planning for next year's budget as soon as this one is adopted, because I don't think it is going to get any better anytime soon. We need to recognize that taxes pay for services, and that Portlanders pay their hard-earned tax money into taxes, which then they expect the government to use wisely. I believe this budget does use taxpayers' money wisely. We have looked in every nook and cranny, and we will continue to do that. All but one of the city bureaus are taking cuts, and some of them are taking significant cuts. And I want to recognize my five bureau heads, Amalia Alakondamaris, Mary-Lisa Johnson, Lisa Turley, David Olson, and Ann Beyer, all of whom responded to my request to dig deeply and to make sure that we are providing value for the taxpayers' money. The Office of Neighborhood Involvement, just to give you one example, their employees volunteered to cut a vacant position so that they could and that they would then work harder to provide crime prevention services. Their employees stepped up and took voluntary reductions in their amount of days of the week that they work, which of course doesn't mean that the amount of work goes down. It means that they will be working even harder at the time that they're in the office. And our Office of Neighborhood Involvement looked in all of the line items of all of the budgets to find $1,000 here and $5,000 there so that we could make the required cuts. I greatly appreciate Mayor Adams's recognition of the value of graffiti services and neighborhood mediation, which are under a special appropriation. When we did a zero-based budget in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement last year, we weren't able to fit those two programs into our ongoing budget. And so the graffiti program is taking a 17% cut, and we're still very glad that it's funded. And what we need citizens to help us step up to fill the gaps of what can no longer be done by paid staff. So we invite everyone to take ownership of your neighborhood and join in community. Something as basic as removing graffiti, it can make a huge difference, and we need your help. In the Bureau of Emergency Communications, the staff there are working diligently with the Human Resources Department to come up with a new contract, which will, I believe, save money and also make the employees more efficient and more healthy. So I appreciate their diligence in taking this opportunity of the union contracts being up for bargaining right now, and truly coming to the table in a partnership and interest-based bargaining, which is going to be good for all of the citizens of Portland, both in the services that the 911 Center provides and in the cost-effectiveness of which we do those services. I'm very proud of them. All of the members of council are committed to jobs in the city, and taxes also help provide, maintain jobs. When we were looking at whether to use contract savings for more green streets, which, as the mayor said, are safer, I also looked at how many jobs does that represent. And public sector jobs are a huge part of our economy, that they're the folks who are going to be able to go to the grocery store and buy things and go to other stores and participate in our community. So that's another way that we have to be diligent in trying to preserve jobs both in the community with contracting out and also jobs within the city. That weighs into my decisions on these budgets. I greatly appreciate our financial team. Andrew Scott and your whole team have done an absolutely wonderful job of making things as clear as possible to me and to the citizens of Portland. And we commit to continuing to work on the budget process. I believe it's better this year. It was better last year than the year before. we know that we still need to make improvements to make sure that citizens are truly engaged in helping to make the decisions. And I call out the mayor's attention to performance measures, to standardized reporting, to making sure that all of the bureaus give the performance measures on things like minority contracting, on women's employment, those kinds of issues. As Commissioner Leonard alluded to, and so did Commissioner Fish, we have had disagreements in making this budget, and indeed there's parts of it that if it was left only to me, I would change. It's not only left to me. It's a community discussion with everyone and with the five of us on the council. And disagreements are healthy. There has been some discussion in the community and in the media about the strident disagreements on the council. I think that's a good thing. The taxpayers win and the citizens of Portland win when those disagreements, which are definitely out in our community, are aired by your representatives and we are able to come to either respectful disagreements or consensus or sometimes annoyed disagreements. But airing those out and being able to talk with each other is a very important factor. I particularly appreciated Amy Schaffer's comments regarding the Police Bureau budget. And I am deferring to Mayor Adams and to Chief Reese as newly in charge of the Police Bureau and Police Bureau budget to make those budget decisions. I appreciate also the service of Commissioner Saltzman and Chief Sizer prior to that in recognizing that the police are an important part of community safety. And I want to call out the mayor's dedication of $540,000 in very precious money for us to partner with the county in providing mental health services and doing so in a cost-effective manner through those partnerships so that we can provide services, in the appropriate services to people with mental health crises in the community so that our police officers are less called upon as they are on a daily basis to help people who have limited other resources. We had the NAMI walk, the National Alliance of Mental Illness walk, on Sunday. And as you remember, Sunday was not a nice day. It rained. And there were 1,700 of us walking around the Esplanade in the rain to demonstrate that we care about people with mental illnesses, including Dave Benson, the president of the Police Officers Commanding Association, and other city employees who care about people in our community. And so we're making a lot of progress, and those good things don't often hit the headlines. I'm about 400 emails behind in answering constituent emails. I do believe that there are five people on this council who are looking deeply into every item on the budget, and often there's an explanation that may take a little longer than the 2-column inches that might be able to be in a newspaper article or in a blog post. So if you have questions, call our offices, and we'll tell you what the rationale was, what the disagreements were. This is a very thoughtfully put together budget. It does provide extra money for housing and shelters, and let's be clear that getting people into permanent supportive housing is the most cost-effective way of helping people who have needs in our community, as well as being the most compassionate. And so I deeply appreciate Commissioner Fish's ongoing work in that regard and the mayor's allocation of extra money, additional money in the budget. So this has been a very challenging process, as everyone in our community is being challenged right now. So there isn't a perfect solution. Last year, we were fortunate in that the business income tax came in higher than expected, and so we didn't have to make some of these very tough choices. This year, there's a lot of people who are disappointed, a lot of programs that are not going to be provided, a lot of services that are not going to be provided, and yet the needs are not going to go away. And so we do need to continue to work with our community partners to figure out how to get those things provided. And again, I recognize the mayor's commitment to community in funding both the Office of Human Relations and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, that by providing some staff support, we can involve our community in the volunteering and the wonderful support that we get from the private sector here in Portland to try to make this budget work for as many people as we can. Thank you. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank my colleagues for their partnership in putting together this budget. Cut budgets are always tougher to put together than budgets where you have unanticipated revenues. And really happy that together we put together a budget that strikes a balance between being good financial stewards of the city and also prioritizing cuts and adds around safety and security, focusing as much resources as we possibly can on the businesses and the individuals that are feeling the brunt of the worst recession, national recession, since World War II. The cuts, I want to recognize first the hardworking employees of the city. We are cutting hundreds of jobs, authorized positions in the city to help balance this budget, some filled, some unfilled. Those that are filled, that's a family that is feeling that loss. And our updated severance packages that we updated last year, I think, are a lot more compassionate than years past. And so we will do everything we can to help you transition to other opportunities. I want to thank the Bureau of Financial Planning, Andrew, Jeremy, Ken, Rich, the entire team for going through this arduous process. These are tough times for many people, but it's also good to have some perspective and to give thanks for the fact that we actually have it a lot better than a lot of other places. We've had double-digit unemployment for 13 months, and that is the first time since World War II, and that's a real human hardship. But the unemployment rates in other parts of the country are now higher than ours. Other cities have already burned through their financial reserve, like Seattle, which is now facing double-digit cuts in its city government. We have not. We have maintained the highest credit rating that a municipal government can get in many categories. Other cities have had to do massive increases in general taxation. The city of New York City is a 7% property tax increase, and they are feeling this recession as mightily as we are. We have a balance between maintaining the system, having an equitable, talking about the utilities, sewer, and water. We do have a challenge of replying to federal mandates and court orders, pushing back on some, and also that these businesses be run in an equitable manner, triple bottom line, sustainable manner. And to try to prevent as much hardship of rate increases on households as possible. So the forecast called for an 18% increase in water, and that was brought in at 12. It called for a 6.9% sewer rate increase, and that came in at 6.35. That saves ratepayers millions and millions of dollars in what otherwise would be higher rate increases. We know that no rate increase in this environment would be ideal for most Portland households. And we've responded to that by lowering the increases. I want to thank my bureau managers as well. Like Parks, some of us have been cutting in some of our bureaus for 6-7 years. The Office of Transportation has been, I think, is in its 7th year of cuts. We rely on the state gas tax and vehicle registration fees. Our streets are not as well maintained as they should be. But where I have prioritized resources is into saving lives. So, yes, it means our streets are more bumpy than they otherwise could be. But I have, whenever we find savings and efficiencies, invested that first and foremost into saving lives and reducing injuries. And we have to suffer through some bumps on the road because of that. But I stand by, as Transportation Commissioner, that difficult choice. In closing, two things. I'd like to thank Tom Miller and Warren Jimenez on my staff, who work very long hours putting this budget together. And then two other things. One, state cuts that Commissioner Fish talked about are on top of already brutal state budget cuts. That will show up in our streets and homes and businesses. We can't keep up with the growing demand, much less the growing demand and the cuts required with state programs that are here or were here in this city. And I am going to continue to press for more equity among local governments in the region to fund social services, hunger, and affordable housing programs to the same level that the City of Portland funds them. Multnomah County and the City of Portland cannot subsidize local budgets, local government budgets around the region. We do not have enough money ourselves to adequately address the issues of hunger, homelessness, and affordable housing. And when you have the City of Portland spending around $8 to $11 million in general fund for homeless and housing, affordable housing programs, and Washington County spending $600,000 of their general fund, that is not equitable. Finally, budget by geography. Later this year, we'll be starting to have discussions at the council about how the city spends its maintenance money, its capital money, and its operations money based on geography. And for the first time in this city's history, or at least for a very long time, we all will begin to make sure that our investments are calibrated best with the needs in every part of our city. And I look forward to that coming to the council and to the public in the fall. Thank you all. Glad to get to this point. Aye. Can you?
So one final thing. We need a motion to approve the tax levies.
Is there a motion? It's been moved. Seconded?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Sue, would you please call the roll?
Read it.
Actually, Mayor, I'm sorry. We need to read that into the record.
Oh. Can you please read that into the record?
Motion to approve the tax levies.
There's a text in front of you.
Thank you for that clarification.
I can can I read it? In? Yeah, so the proposed language, the city shall levy its full permanent rate of $4.5770 per $1,000 of assessed value and $8,697,773 for the payment of voter-approved general obligation bond principal and interest and $118,526,184 for the obligations for the fire and police disability and retirement fund and 0.4026 per $1,000 of assessed value for the children's levy. Furthermore, the city shall levy the amounts listed in Attachment E for urban renewal collections.
Please call the vote.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Just to clarify, this is setting the rates, the tax rates at the levels that they have been at, including the obligations that we have with voter-approved levies and state obligations. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. All right. We'll now move to the second time certain.
Yeah, and you should adjourn the budget
committee. I hereby adjourn the budget committee. All right. We will now move to the 9:45 time certain. Can you please read the title for item number 725?
Portland Development Commission budget hearing.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners.
So, Mr. Chair, excuse me, Mayor, and members of the Commission, you're here serving as our budget committee today. I didn't notice whether you'd reconvened as the Portland Development Commission's budget committee.
I hereby reconvene as the Portland Development Commission's budget committee.
I probably want to call roll for that.
Can you please call the roll for the Portland Development Commission's budget committee?
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Here.
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Bruce, would you like to move up here and just take the mayor's seat? might expedite this matter.
Really?
Mr. Mayor, members of the commission, a pleasure to be here this morning. I believe you have in front of you my May 21st, 2010 memo entitled Budget Approval Resolution and Recommended Changes for Approved Budget. And as you know, last week, while serving as our budget committee, we went through our budget and the proposed changes to the budget. So what I've done in this budget or in this memo is just outlined the six areas where changes have been made from the original proposed